This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
My name's Nicole and I'm from Brisbane in Australia. I was sick and tired of feeling sick and tired and had just begun yet another attempt at a non-drinking stint when I discovered the Over the Influence podcasts. The timing couldn't have been better. I binge listened to them all, joined the OTI community and have never looked back. If, like me, you've tried and tried to put down the plonk, but even after some success, keep finding yourself pulled back into the mire, join us in the OTI community, where we all share our stories of what works and what doesn't and where we're currently at. Everyone's just so full of understanding and inspiration. In a few weeks, I'll reach a whole year without a single drop, and I can't thank the OTI community enough. You guys rock and make all the difference in the booze-free world.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Hello. We absolutely loved recording this episode with Pete, but there are some pretty difficult conversations in this one. Pete talks about self-harm. He talks about, obviously, addiction, child abuse, but also suicide. You'll hear more about it in a minute, but we wanted to let you know now so it didn't catch you off guard. There are some useful links in the episode notes of this one, so take a look there if you need help yourself. And if this episode isn't for you, then we'll see you again next week.
Welcome to Over the Influence. It is wonderful to have you listening. If you are just joining us for the first time, please allow me to reintroduce ourselves and give you a little very brief history as to why on earth we're doing this and as to who we are. My name is Sharon Hartley. I am from Lancashire in the northwest of England. Everybody calls me Shaz or Shazza. Nobody calls me Sharon. This week, guys, I've had to look at my actual file of facts. 3 years alcohol free, yet 3 years, like literally to the day, which is bonkers. Bonkers. If you'd have told me 3 years ago, I'd be sitting here now chatting to some bloody sober geezer in New Zealand, another guy reading Wim Hof on his holidays in his budgie smugglers in Mallorca, and then Pete, who I cannot wait to introduce in just a moment, and I've gone, bog off, pour me another large rosé, don't be absolutely ridiculous. Yet here we are, it's all happening and it is wonderful. 3 years has gone in an absolute flash, and if you are just listening now thinking, I couldn't do that, I couldn't live life without alcohol, how could you possibly have fun, how could life be great, how do you socialise? Trust me, been there, done that, and to say it is life-changing is an understatement. And I know that our next guest will be able to talk about life-changing situations. So once again, I'm going off on a tangent. Let me bring it back. I'm not doing this on my own. We have got the very glamorous Freddie Bennett in the future in New Zealand. I don't know why I talk like this. Morning, Freddie, love.
Sharon Hartley, hello from the future. It is a pleasure, as always, to see you. I'm up, I'm on parade, and Shazza, I am standing to attention. And it's a pleasure to be here with you all today. I've lowered the tone already. So, yeah, hello, everyone. My name is Freddie. I'm coming up to 1,000 days alcohol-free. 1,000 has a special number, a special relevance for me, because I always say I failed to stop drinking 1,000 times over the years. Tried and failed. I had 1,000 day ones, but I always say you only need to get it right once. And when you get it right once, your life changes. And that's what happens to me. Moved halfway around the world. New life, new career, new outlook, new fitness, new goals. Same old podcast, same old person underneath. Happy and delighted to be here. I'm very excited about our guest today.
Wonderful. 1,000 days, Freddie, as if. I mean, all these big numbers.
It's getting close.
It's most ridiculous. Delighted to have Chief Pod Guy back. No longer background Ben. He's looking Chief Pod Guy. Do you like
Hello.
That?
I've been called some things. Chief Pod Guy is a weird
Chief
one.
Chief Pod Guy.
Better than Mr. Ben.
Yeah.
Mr. Ben, the Chief Pod yes. Guy. There you go, his yes. full title. He's looking sun-kissed. He's got such beautiful sun-kissed flowing sober hair. He's still wearing his very tiny budgie smugglers, but I'm delighted that Ben is back, keeping myself and Freddie Bennett in order, and he's still very alcohol free. Hiya, Ben.
Hello. Right, where do we start here? So I think the my official title is producer podcast. Yeah, Chief Pod Guy works, but the producer of this podcast. I do not own budgie smugglers. I don't
you
know
lie.
Why you keep saying I keep seeing on social media, oh, Ben's and his budgie smugglers. No, I'm not.
It's an image that I have in my mind, and it's only fair I share it with the rest of the world. Don't spoil it. I love
can't
it.
Get out of my mind.
But no, I gave up alcohol just over a year ago. I don't think anything particularly bad would have happened if I'd carried on drinking, but I don't think anything particularly good would have happened either. Andy Ramage, the legend, calls people like me middle lane drinkers, but I was inspired by Freddie and Shaz to give it a go for a few months and actually realised very quickly that giving up booze has benefits for people who, anyone, if you give up booze, things will get better. My relationships have improved. My health has improved. I've got all these new weird health things that I want to try and do now. Yes, I was reading Wim Hof.
Yes, you were.
The Wim Hof method, the book by the crazy Dutch man, the Iceman Wim Hof, whilst on the sunbed on holiday. I've never, ever felt as motivated. I've never felt as clear-headed. I'm delighted to be over a year alcohol-free. I've survived the alcohol-free holiday. I thought that maybe I might crumble sitting around, you know, when people are getting their pints with lunch or sitting on the beach and the bloke comes around with his big bucket full of ice and a load of beers in there. But I didn't, and I'm delighted I didn't, because I had the best holiday ever being alcohol-free. Right, let's talk to our guest.
Enough about us wanging on about alcohol-free life. This podcast is, it's all about the guests. It's all about the stories. We've got some amazing inspirational stories. We've got stories of recovery. We have the experts on sharing their opinions. Basically, the whole spectrum of alcohol-free life is covered on Over the Influence. I'm really excited to introduce our next guest to you. We've never met before. We've not even had a conversation over the phone. We've done a bit of emailing exchange. But this happened. This has come about because our next guest, who is called Pete Mears from Milton Keynes, got in touch with Over the Influence because Pete heard our amazing, if we do say so ourselves, our amazing episode with Paul Locke a couple of weeks back. Paul was the artist who basically stopped drinking and became an artist. I mean, that's a very condensed version of what happened. Pete, thank you for getting in touch with us. Thank you for agreeing to be our guest, and welcome to Over the Influence.
Well, thanks, guys. My cheekbones are killing from all that smiling.
It's really funny because we are recording this on Zoom, and all that intro we're banging on, I can just see Pete chuckling down there in the background in his little corner on the Zoom call.
I've never laughed so much. Congratulations, guys, as well. Epic, yeah, days, months as well. Yeah, years. 3 years, wow.
Yeah, we never cease to be surprised, Pete.
No, I don't even keep track. I've got an app on my phone that counts the days. I think it's like 385 days for me now.
That's amazing. But
yeah, where to start? Where do you want me to start?
So, okay, let's start at the very beginning, if you don't mind, because when we got in touch with you, obviously we want to find out a little bit about yourself and about your story and how you are now alcohol-free, drink and drug in your case, Pete. You've said you're an open book. There is nothing off limits in terms of what we're going to chat about on the podcast, which for us, honesty is everything. You know, we share all the joys of sobriety, but also the shit bits as well. You know, the reasons behind why people drink and why it can end up with many people being in a really dark place. Pete, if you don't mind, would you take us back to May 2019 and talk us from that point onwards?
May 2019, wow. Yeah, it's a memory I'd never get rid of. That was my lowest point ever. I was at my worst. I was drinking a litre and a half of vodka a day. I couldn't tell you how much cocaine I was doing. 200-300 quid a day on cocaine. And I didn't just hit rock bottom, I went past rock bottom. And for so many years, I tried to give up the alcohol. I was over my mum's because she lives near the M1 motorway. And I used to go over there and have a weekly drink, as I'd call it. Because I was allowed to drink at home, obviously, because of the kids and stuff. And I remember it was a Sunday. I was over my mum's. My mum and my stepdad decided to go bingo, like they did every Sunday. And I sat there and I just thought, I can't do this. So I wrote a load of suicide notes to my family, to my son, my daughter, my wife, my mum and dad. And then somehow managed to stagger up to the M1, climbed over the railings and let go. And in that split second I let go was the first time I didn't hear the voices in my head, which I had every day for 25 years. I didn't know at the time there was a policeman standing right behind me because I was that drunk, and literally grabbed me as I was falling, yanked me across the barrier. I think we must have stood there for about 10 minutes just holding each other. Didn't exchange any words. I was crying my eyes out, and even he started crying. He was only a young bloke, Thomas. So eventually he took me back to my mum's, where we sat in the mum's lounge for about an hour, had a cup of tea and that. I reassured him I'll be all right. Yeah, mum was home by then, and she reassured him as well. And I just thought something's got changed, but I don't know what. Yeah, because I kept looking for the answer. You know, I tried AA and all those sort of things, and nothing clicked. So I went to see a hypnotherapist out of desperation. I thought maybe she can hypnotise me, do some magic thing on me so I just don't touch drink ever again, because I hated it. I hated myself, hated life. Just, yeah, it was impossible. So I went to see a hypnotherapist, and she gave me some tools, which was like EFT tapping. So basically you tap your cheek, tap your chest, when you start feeling anxiety and stress and stuff like that. But also she put me on to the teachings of Sydney Banks, who's a Scottishman of the three principles. He's the one who discovered the three principles, mind, consciousness and thought. The first day I saw her, I gave up the drink instantly. Now, after 25 years of addiction, I never thought that'd be possible. I used the EFT tapping probably, for 6 or 7 weeks, day in, day out. I'd sit at work doing it. My business partner, who's my cousin, it's a family company we got. He used to take the piss out of me all the time, but he knew I was doing it for a reason. So that really got me through the first 6 to 7 weeks whilst I was reading up on the principles, you know, trying to get my head around what it is. And then it all just clicked into place. Literally, you know, it's literally just down to your thinking. You know, that little voice we've all got inside us when we reach for a drink and you hear it. No, you don't need to have that. But ego always wins out. Ego's, yeah, go on, have it. And it's just literally teaching you to listen to that little voice. And as soon as I started doing that, wow, my life's changed.
Pete, that day you've just taken us back to in May 2019, that's only just over 2 years ago. In the grand scheme of life, it's not that long ago. But my God... Look where you are today.
Well, I gave up the drink for the first time when I got the understanding. I did it for 5 months up until, I think it was, you know, November-ish time, December. My uncle died in December of 2019, which hit me really hard. I went back to the drink. And I carried on drinking, so obviously COVID came along as well. So we was in lockdown, the company was shut down. But I used these as an excuse. I know I did. I wasn't fully, you know, prepared, I suppose, to let go of the drink at that time. But I kept reaching out to a lady called Jacqueline Hollows. Now, she's the one who started Beyond Recovery, what Paul Locke was mentioning. They do amazing work in prisons. And I've met her and Paul at a mind spa back in November of 2019. So I kept reaching out to Mama J, as we call her. And she always used to say to me, phone me in the morning. Because I always phoned her when I was drunk. But of course, when the morning came, it never happened because I was too embarrassed. And so, yeah. And then one day my wife turned around and said, that's it, enough's enough, it's all over. So I gave up the drink. I thought, well, I've got the principles, I know I can do it, so let's do it. So I gave it up for 20 days. And then Mama J phoned me completely out of the blue and said, oh, I'm doing this program on the three principles, you know, to give people a deeper understanding. I'd like to offer you a place, which I did, and haven't looked back. So now I'm trying to help as many people as I possibly can.
I think it's such an amazing story, Pete. And as Shazza says, it's a remarkable turnaround because, you know, 2 years is not a long time at all. I'd love to learn more. I'd love to learn more about so many different things. But to start off, the three principles that you mentioned, and being a three principle practitioner, what are they and what's involved in that?
Well, it's simply mind, consciousness and thought. It's just teaching you that everything's thought. You have that choice. You know, if you think, oh, I'm going to go and rob a bank, you don't go through with it. You know which ones to listen to. And it's really getting an understanding of how we listen to thought. It teaches you about people having separate realities and not to have judgment and things like that. It's life-changing, it really is. Beyond Recovery, as I say, the work they've done and the work in America, when you look at, I think it's called the Mandela Project, it's a bit like the Bronx. And they've gone in, they've changed neighbourhoods. You know, it's amazing.
Without wanting to jump straight into the detail, but I think it's an amazing point you make, Pete, about our thoughts. And I think if we think back to, and I've been there as well, times when I've got a few weeks of being alcohol free together, and then there'll be something, there'll be a bad day at work, or you know, you've got a wedding or a holiday or just some excuse coming up basically, and like you say, the thoughts in your head, like, I knew I was going to drink, because you just start telling yourself a story and your brain starts kicking in. And do you feel that's the case, that we always have those, almost like the angel and the devil on our shoulders, or we always have these conflicting thoughts and we have to learn to listen which thoughts to obey almost?
100%. My story, as I say, for 25 years, probably I'd say the last 12 years, every morning I'd wake up and I'd have the devil and the angels, I call them. Now knowing, you know, one's the wisdom and one's the ego. The devil and the angel. Oh, you're not going to drink today. Yeah, you are going to drink. You're not going to drink. And to be honest, the drink was my only escape from that. Because I would drink until I blacked out, so I didn't hear the voices. But then as soon as I woke up in the morning, there they were again. Hence why the suicide, because I just couldn't cope with the voices any longer. But it is, yeah, the principles really does teach you the fundamental aspects of, it's a thought, you don't need to listen to that. And since getting the principles, I don't get those voices any longer. Yeah, the ego's not loud anymore. The wisdom is the one that's really loud now. And it's huge. It really is huge, it's life-changing. Just knowing we've got an option. But trying to tell somebody that when they're caught in the mist, you know, when your mind's that cloudy that you can't see, is impossible.
It's so true, isn't it? And I think it's a great point. I mean, I've certainly, I haven't been on the edge of a motorway bridge, but I have been in those dark, lost, desperate places where you just can't see a way out at all. And I know in those situations, it's very difficult to have someone say, oh, just listen to the positive thoughts and ignore the negative thoughts, because like you say, it's so hard and difficult. But at the same time, as you've proved, there is always a way forward. We do always have a choice.
100%, because the stories we make up in our own minds, we believe in, because they're ours and they're personal to us. So it's a reality we're creating. And to us, it looks real, it feels real. But as soon as you actually get to grips that we create that, you know, you could be walking down the street and you see somebody look at you. Now, my old way of thinking would have been, well, what's he staring at? But my new way of thinking now is, he's probably not even staring at me. He's probably staring straight past me, looking at something else. But you can see how we make up stories as we go along through our day-to-day lives. And it's exactly the same with the drink. You know, you do make excuse after excuse, any excuse. Yeah, you know, I could go to work and not necessarily have a bad day. I could have a really good day, and that'd be an excuse to have a drink because I've had a good day. So,
and I think on that note as well, it's, and if I think back to my own drinking, it could escalate the drinking, and I've certainly been there. You have a couple of drinks, and then you think, someone said something, or people aren't finding me funny, or I'm feeling, you know, no one's talking to me, or you'll find the excuse. What I used to do, I used to say, right, I'm going to leave this bar and I'm just going to go off on my own and go on a bit of a bender or something like that. And I think once you get in that cycle of having a drink, the negative self-talk, and we start seeing things that isn't there, which can be a bloody nightmare if you try to change your behaviours as well.
Oh, God, yeah. 'Cause my drinking was always done at home. I never went to a pub or anything like that because, well, as we all know, drink makes you, when you get to the level I drink at, it makes you a hermit. You don't want to go out because you feel insecure. You don't feel confident enough until you've drunk a litre of vodka. Then, yeah, you'll take on the world. It's not a problem going out. They're saying my drinking was always done at home. And then if I had friends round, well, I sat at home, I used to have a caravan on the caravan park. And I'd do anything to get people round. You know, I'd put my hand in my pocket to go and get drugs and that, just to entice them round. So I wasn't alone. Because every night I was alone, that's when I'd start self-harming. Because I just hated what I'd become. But the really strange thing is, I've been an addict for 25 years. And I'm only just discovering who I am now. And every day is a learning curve for me. You know, and I'm like, wow, this is you. Without putting the label on it, alcoholic, I was always a functioning alcoholic. You know, I've got a successful business, so I never drank during the day, but in the evenings, that was it. It didn't matter. You know, I've got wife and kids. Wasn't enough. Nothing was enough to stop me drinking. Nothing at all. And I just didn't know where to go. You know, who to turn to. You know. I feel for people out there in that dark place and listening to those voices day in, day out, because you do feel so alone. You feel so trapped inside yourself and you feel like there is no escape. You know, how can I get away from myself when it's, you know, me? But as I say, this understanding really taught me that it was me creating this in the first place. And as soon as I started to tap into that, and the more I learned about thought and realities and what, you know, what we make up, the stories we make up in our own heads, that's when everything just started to click into place. That, and as I say, with the EFT tapping, you know, that was a game changer for me, just the tapping technique.
Can we talk about that? Because it, strangely enough, I'd never heard of EFT, because that stands for Emotional Freedom Technique. Am I right?
I honestly don't know, Ben.
The reason I do know is because, really oddly, it's the second time today. I'd never heard of it before, but this is the second conversation I've had about it today.
I've heard about it the first time a couple of weeks ago. And it's weird, isn't it? Like, it's all something we've heard about quite recently.
But, Pete, can you talk? So you said that was kind of the first thing that you started. Can you explain what it is and what the technique is and what it helps you to do?
Yeah, so for me, my hypnotherapist, Dawn, she literally just showed me to tap on my cheekbone 10 times and tap on my breastbone 10 times and then just keep repeating that process until you could feel yourself starting to come out of the anxiety, stress, whatever it is you happen to be in. But I think what it does, it psychologically takes your mind off what your mind was already on, because you're now concentrating on your tapping and counting. So, you know, And it's really teaching that habitual thinking as well, that you're trying to change it, because the one thing when you give up drink, drugs, any habit, whether it's shopping, eating chocolate, you're still gonna have that habitual thinking in the back of your mind. You're still gonna get the urges. Touch wood, I don't get any of that at all. Through the principles and everything I've learned now, I know it's just a complete waste of time. In the early days, don't get me wrong, of course I had the urges and that. But then, as I say, that's when the tapping would come in. As soon as I could feel an urge or a bit of anxiety coming on, then that's when I'd start tapping. And there was some, you know, really close days where I did nearly have a drink as well. You know, it wasn't just, you know, roses. Definitely not. It's not easy, but it works 100%.
It's a form of mindfulness, essentially, isn't it? It's yeah. about bringing you back to the moment. And I think what the conversation I was having earlier about it is, it's kind of, it's a, like you say, it's a circuit breaker almost. It's a kind of, I am taking, even if it's only a small action to tap on your cheek, tap on wherever.
Yeah.
But it's a circuit breaker. It's a kind of, I am making some sort of step towards going away from this thing that I don't want to be and going towards this thing.
Yeah.
And it, I think it's so, have you heard of AVRT? I think this might be pronounced AVRT, addictive voice recognition technique. That sounds quite similar to the three P's. I think, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, go and research some of this stuff, because I know that AVRT has really helped some other people that I know up here in Liverpool. I think it's amazing that now, for so long, science has focused on the physical. I think now it only feels like Freddie, you said you heard about EFT a few weeks ago. It feels like these things are really coming to the forefront now, and that the power of the mind is quite incredible. And well, Pete, you are testament to that. Have you thought your way out of your addiction? Is your mind your primary tool, or have you used anything else to?
No, yeah, literally just thought. The one thing Sid Banks, and say the founder of the principles, always used to say, you're one thought away from mental health. And it is. You're one thought away from happiness, sadness, you know. And it's understanding the thought process, you know, negativity and stuff, you know. If you watch a sad film, yeah, and you feel a bit negative, you're not going to sit there smiling if you're feeling negative. And it's really teaching you about how the thought system works and how we think, our way through life. Yeah, absolutely everything. But no, it's the only thing I've used is the principles, nothing else at all. And just reading all Sid's stuff. Listen, he's dead now, unfortunately. I was just listening to all his old lectures and stuff he'd done, because, yeah, he's been around the world doing it. And, you know, the 3P's community is huge across the globe. And as I say, you know, Jacqueline Hollows, Beyond Recovery, have done so much work in the prisons. Two of the guys who were actually in prison are now directors of Beyond Recovery, with, you know, and running programs with Mama J, hence the t-shirt I've got on as well.
I noticed that. I like your top.
We love a bit of branding here. Love at it. ATI, don't we?
Love it.
But it is. It's well, positive mental attitude. Yeah, that's what people have always said. But it is. It's just teaching people how to think. It sounds so simple, and it really is. It's showing people that you've got that innate well-being inside you, that wisdom. But we're not used to listening to it. It's all about trusting in that little voice and start learning to listen to that. Yeah, when we were kids and you go do something, I guarantee every one of us would have heard a voice, no, don't do that, you're going to get in trouble. But you still went ahead and done it. It's literally reversing that cycle and teaching you to listen to that voice. And trusting in that. And yeah, that's what's changed me completely.
We talk a lot, Pete, about self-discovery on the podcast and the things that we've noticed about ourselves since we all removed alcohol. And Freddie likes to sing a song roundabout now. Have you ever seen The Greatest Showman?
I haven't. I've heard of it plenty of times.
So there's this song called This Is Me. And we joke about it a lot, but it's so flipping true. So you said, you know, you were an addict for 25 years and that's who you thought you were. And then thank God for that policeman on that night back in 2019. Thank God you're chatting to us now. I want to know what you've discovered. I want to know what surprises you unravel about you every day. I want to know it all, but what have you learned about yourself? There must be so much.
Well, I left school when I was 13 to start work. You know, so I'd never had an education. But I am dyslexic. My writing is terrible. But I write, I've got... One of the psychologists in America, Joe Bailey, he's huge in the principles and he used to be really good friends with Sid. He's written six books now. And the latest book, which is coming out in October, he's published one of my poems in his book.
Wow.
Well, I've never written anything in my life.
How does that make you feel, Pete?
Do you know what? So proud. My biggest thing I'm working on at the moment is I'm actually writing my own book, which has got my life story, you know, being beaten and raped as a kid from the age of 10, becoming a dad at the age of 11 to my little brother. As I say, leaving school at 13, starting work to try and support my mum and my little brother. And I've listed as much as I can of that, and then I'm going into the principles and what's changed for me and what I've seen. And what my goal is with the book is to leave it in bus stops, police stations, AA centres, rehab centres, you know, completely free of charge, just so somebody else can read it and hope, in the hope that same clicks with them. You know, they can read it and sympathise, oh, wow, well, that sounds a bit like my story, you know. And if he's managed to do something, then maybe I could look into the principles and see if I can find something. So that's my dream, yeah.
I think that's so amazing, Pete. In a world where it feels like everyone's caring about the number of followers they've got and everyone's saying, I want to have a book out so you could all buy a book and I can tell you everyone that I'm a number one best-selling author and then I can do the TED Talk and all of this. To say, a lot of people do these things, and I won't go on a rant, but a lot of people do these things to get something themselves, to, as you say, to fill a new void, to make themselves money, to make themselves look better. But the fact you're coming at it from a totally different angle in terms of what can I give back, how can I help people, I think is amazing. Did that kind of that reversal of mindset just come naturally, or was it part of all this work that you've done on yourself?
I've always been a generous person, I believe, in my heart. You know, I've always helped people out financially and that, but I don't know, now I look at it, maybe I was just trying to buy them off so I could get on with my own drinking, you know, my own problems at the time. But I just want to give back because I believed I was saved for a reason, plain and simple. I'm not a religious man. There is a greater power. We are all connected. Yeah, there is one mind, which is all of us. You know, when you really delve into the principles, it shows you that we are all connected. We all come from the same source. And I just want to give back. I don't want anybody to suffer the way I did. And if I could just try and give them a bit of relief, a bit of hope, then, yeah. And the main message is you're not alone.
Pete, something I want to ask you about there as well. Last week, we recorded an episode with a wonderful woman called Sarah Drage, who, in fact, it's her dad's anniversary today. She lost her dad, Steve, to alcoholism 4 years ago. And a huge part of what she's campaigning for now is all to do with the shame and the stigma of basically reaching out and asking for help. For anybody, male and female, but one of the points she made was that it's a bloody nightmare for fellas as well, because, you know, you struggle to say, I've got a problem. You struggle to say, I need help. I'd just be curious to know your thoughts on that. And did you, again, have to deal with that shame attached to having a drink and drug problem and the shame of having to ask for help?
For the first few years when I really knew I had to get off of it. As I said, I searched for ages. To be honest, I only ever heard a 12-step literally about 4 or 5 months ago. I've never even heard of that before. It's not public enough, you know, for people. I can remember going to the doctors and he said, well, just give it up. I was like, I can't just give it up. I wish I could. You know, I've got a problem. And he literally just gave me a couple of leaflets. It's like, yeah, I've got other patients, sort of thing. Just not interested. And from what I can see and my personal journey, there's not enough help out there. It's not publicised enough. It's simply just not. Whether it's drink, whether it's drugs. And, well, don't get me started, but there's never enough funding for these things. You know, that's why, you know, doing the work I'm doing with Beyond Recovery, I'm trying my hardest to get a deeper understanding, to become a qualified practitioner, just so I can help people. I've already helped a couple of guys, and touch wood, they're still clean to this day, like 4 or 5 months later. But again, I'm not interested in charging. I want to be able to go, right, here's a place, come and join. You know, I'm setting up a weekly Zoom group, you know, just a Facebook group, which is going to be open to the whole world, where myself and a colleague, you know, a friend, we're just going to talk about the principles and whatever comes up. And if anyone wants to come along, then that's great. You know, it's just to get the understanding out there more. Because, you know, whether it's the principles or any other method, I don't care what it is, providing it helps people. And that's the main thing. But there's not enough support out there. The shame side of it, yeah. 2 years ago, I didn't have any shame because I had nothing at all. I didn't want to be here. Prior to that, yeah, there was shame and stigma attached to it. But then, you know, I really let myself down. When I tried to commit suicide, I thought, well, you know, that's the key point there, is we need to catch people when they get to that stage and say, okay, well, you've got to that stage, you've tried that, that didn't work. Okay, look, come here and try this. Yeah. Well, if I could win the lottery, you know, I'd set up a farm or something where I could literally just have everyone there and talk about the principles and do farming and just, but yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Pete, as soon as the book's ready, I'm sure that our listeners, our community members, you know, any way that we can help to get this out there, you know, distribute the book, it's a fantastic idea. Have you got a name for the book yet?
Tortured Soul.
Yeah. I like it. I'm just thinking, if someone wanders into that bus stop.
Well, that's the thing. I'm just going to leave it anywhere I possibly can. I've got a publishing friend who I did a writing course with, and she's in the principles, and she's got her own publishing company. She said she's going to help me try and get it, you know, launched and stuff, you know, get it printed. As to how thick it is, I haven't got a clue. I'm still writing it. But, yeah, it's not going to be a massive book, but it's going to have, you know, some basics in there just to hopefully catch somebody before it's too late. Yeah, that's the key.
We're Sound Rebel, and we just wanted to let you know a bit more about us.
Sound Rebel produced this podcast, and we work with all sorts of personalities to help them engage with their current audiences.
We work with actors, football commentators, comedians, personal trainers, radio presenters, hello, influencers, and even world record holders.
So, if you've got an audience but don't have a podcast, get in touch with us.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now and take your place in the fastest growing broadcast medium in the world.
Right, back to the episode.
Pete, I wanted to explore, to go back slightly and explore something that you talked about earlier. And funnily enough, it's another song from The Greatest Showman, which is actually my,
sorry, Pete,
my favourite song from it. What's
sorry,
that, Shannon?
I'm just apologising to Pete on our behalf.
I'm not going to sing, don't worry. This is the new me. And but the song is called Never Enough. And it's my favourite song because that's certainly one that I relate to a lot. And we get a lot of people reaching out to us on this show. And they say, on a surface level, it's so easy, isn't it? You can say to someone, you've got a wonderful family, you've got the house, you've got a job. A lot of people who get to this rock bottom, they're not already on a park bench. They have got all these things that should be enough, but it feels like it is never enough. Mm. Why do you think that is?
Do you know what? I think that's where the principles really showed me that everything I had was enough, and everything I had was just myself and inside me. I was enough, because prior to that, yeah, nothing was enough. You know, there's never enough money, there's never enough drink, there's never enough drugs, there's never enough of anything. Yeah, you blame your partners because they don't show you enough love and this and that, but it really stems from inside. It's actually us, and when we get the understanding that we are enough, yeah, you know, because for so many years I didn't love myself. Now I love myself to bits. Yeah, I generally do. I think I'm a really nice guy. It's before I hated myself. But as soon as you can grasp that you are enough, then, yeah, you'll change. The world will change. But it's just believing in yourself. And again, really, really listening to your innate wisdom inside. You've got to believe in that. Because yeah, we are.
I fully believe that. And I think, no, it's so difficult. I know, and I've been there as well. But when people say, just believe in yourself, just have confidence in yourself. And yeah. You think, I wish it was that bloody easy. I really wish it was. But it is true. The fact that we're here, the fact that we're talking, the fact that anyone is listening to this, it means there is a way forward. There's always a way. There's always a future. We do always have a choice whether to go into the darkness or into the light. And I think you're totally right, Pete. It is just about understanding that we all deserve a life less ordinary and that future of hope.
Well, we've all got that innate wisdom inside. We've all got the wisdom. And it really is just tapping into that. You know, none of us are broken. None of us are broken. It's just misguided thinking. That's all it is. It's cloudy thinking. And as soon as you start, as I say, the principles 100% saved me. And as soon as I got, you know, the understanding of the principles and how the thoughts and the cloudy thinking start to work, then that's it. Everything opens up. Yeah. Every day to day, you know, my day to day life, my relationship with my customers and that is totally different. It's not just the addiction, it's helped absolutely every part of my life. You know, my business, my relationship, you know, with the wife, the relationship with my children. Yeah, absolutely everything has changed. But you've got to believe in yourself.
I think I've just been doing a bit more reading on the three principles while you were talking, and I love this line. It focuses on teaching health rather than treating illness. The model is rooted in a belief that we all have inner mental good health and teaches individuals how to access and sustain this health. I just think it's such an interesting way of looking at it. We're always trying to put a plaster on things, aren't we?
Yeah.
Actually, it's there already. And Freddie, we were talking about this before we started recording, about the kind of how you talk to yourself and how your outlook on life is so affected by the way that you feel on the inside. And actually, if taking that principle, we all have inner good mental health, we just need to find it. I think that's such a powerful way of looking at it. It's saying that you already have the key to it, you've just got to access it.
100%.
I think that's
100%, Ben. Yeah, that's a beautiful way of putting it. The thing is, we're all born with it. It's just that we get conditioned with our thinking as we grow up. We're told to do this, not to do that. And so we lose that, you know. It gets lost with everything else, life to life, you know, throws at us. But as soon as you, like you just said, we've all got it. It's just tapping back into it. You know, we've all got that power.
I can't claim any credit for it because it is on the Beyond Recovery website. And I did read it word for word. But honestly, have a look, beyond-recovery.co.uk. It explains the three principles really well. And I'm going to look into this more, Pete. This is amazing.
Honestly, and yeah, it is so simple. And I'm not trying to degrade addiction or anything, because obviously I was one of the worst trying to take my life. But this has saved me. So to anyone listening out there, if you've got 5 minutes, just have a look. Because if you give it a chance, it will change your life.
I'm blown away by the way you've touched upon a really traumatic past. You have talked openly and honestly about a suicide attempt just over a couple of years ago. You were on a few hundred pounds a day cocaine habit, a litre and a half of vodka, and yet you're sitting here now talking to us, Pete. It's just so simply. You've said, I've done it, and this is what's worked for me, and you're now helping others, and you're doing this for free, and you're writing a book, and you have turned frigging everything, I mean everything, around, haven't you? And it's just, it's breathtaking. And it makes me think to a guest we had a couple of weeks ago, another guest I'm referring to, Sarah Connolly, who talked about people aren't in recovery, it's about discovery. And I think you are an absolute shining example of that. I'm gobsmacked. I think it's amazing how you've gone from such a dark place to this wonderful place. I mean, I'm not saying it's all sweetness and light, and I know it's difficult, and there are days where you think, oh dear God. But to describe that in such simple terms, you've gone, yeah, and this worked for me, just try it. I think it's quite incredible.
Thanks. But yeah, if you'd have asked me 3 years ago or even 2 years ago, yeah, where do you see yourself? I would have said probably waiting for a liver transplant or something, because my liver was shot all the time. That's self-healed, yeah. I still get liver pains once a week maybe, but it's pretty much healed itself. So don't ever think, that's it, I'm down and out because my liver hurts and stuff like that. It will repair itself. And, well, I'm living proof, I'll say. But, yeah. Just reach out for some help, though. Don't be too proud. Definitely not.
I think my thought on it, Ian, I think if we look at what the time that everyone has gone through in the last 18 months, you know, and I'm saying this as someone who's in lockdown again right now, which is a tough pill to swallow, I must admit. But it's so easy to say a negative story. It's so easy to tell ourselves that something is against us, or we don't have the strength, or we don't have the courage, or it would be easier just to have a drink or whatever else. But you're totally right that it is about the words that we use to ourselves. It's about being kind to ourselves, but it's about realizing that these things won't last forever. And I also know that there's a lot of people struggling out there right now, because I know COVID is still a thing and the effects will be felt for a long time. But there's also a feeling that, you know, life's moved on now. People are going, dare I say, back to normal. But I think there's a hell of a lot of people out there that are still feeling the effects, both mentally, physically, medically, and everything else. And it is just about working out that way to find a way and not being too hard on ourselves, and knowing that life can be tough for a lot of people, but it also can change. And I think you're such a testament to that.
Yeah, it's so true, the amount of people that struggle through lockdown. And yeah, you know, you hear horror stories all the time, and you hear all the time on the news and stuff what's going on. But yeah, I don't know, one thing just sprung to mind then. You know, we're so good at putting ourselves down and listening to the negative the whole time. But when we do something good, how often do we ever, you know, carry that thought with us, the good thought? We don't. But the negative one, we carry the whole time. As soon as we can drop that negative thought and start seeing the good in ourselves, then that's when you're going to change.
Pete, it's been an absolute joy talking to you. Thank you so much. I just want to read something back to you that you put in an email to me a couple of weeks ago, okay? And this, well, just listen. You put, who would have thought a useless, lost drunk could actually turn life into a magical playground and meet so many amazing people? That just sums it up, doesn't it?
Well, that's life, yeah, because I've met so many amazing people, only on Zoom, not in person yet. But I've got friends around the world now who I'm working with. Joe Bailey, as I say, Mama J, she, you know, huge with Beyond Recovery. And then Joe Bailey, you know, the psychologist, well, through Principles Practitioner, you know, in America, and his wife, Michael, you know, publishing one of my poems in his book, and that, yeah, the world is our oyster, and the world is our playground, and it's there for the taking. It really is. I never would have believed it.
It's amazing. And we're really privileged to have met you, so thank you so much for your time. It's people like you that undoubtedly inspire others. It's as simple as that. And there'll be somebody listening now thinking, shit, I'm in a mess, I need to sort this out, I can do what Pete did. Can they get in touch with you? Where can they find more information about what you do? And we also want to know all about this book when it's coming out, Pete.
pressure to finish it.
So many questions.
Well, the first place to look would be Beyond Recovery. Have a look there. But anyone can reach me privately if they want. Mears79@btinternet.com. I'm happy to talk to anyone, night or day.
You're a ledge. You're an absolute legend. We've got that email address. If anybody contacts us over the influence via our email or our DMs or whatever, Pete, we'll pass that on. Thank you so much for speaking so honestly to us.
Thanks for having me, guys. You're
more than welcome. Please, will you keep in touch with us? And again, like Freddie said, we want to do everything we can to help you get this book in the places, you know, where you need it to be put for other people like you to read.
Well, I'm hoping to get the book finished by spring, I'd say, next year. I'm not putting myself under pressure. And I've actually found, by not putting myself under pressure, I'm actually writing more. So
win-win.
It's working out well. But as soon as it's done, I'll let you guys know. But I love the work you guys are doing. It's absolutely fantastic. We just need more of this out there. We really do.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Triple Captain.
Hello, this is Triple Captain, the unofficial Fantasy Premier League podcast, which has just one aim: to get you to the top of your mini league.
He's Luke Jurdy, an FPL-obsessed actor and top 10k finisher. And I'm Rich Wolfenden, a TalkSport commentator and presenter on Radio X. So what makes us different from other FPL podcasts?
Well, first of all, we're an unofficial FPL podcast, which means that we can say what we like. There's no club or Premier League affiliations, means that there's no ego rubbing or pleasing the sponsors.
We also pack our podcasts with guests. We've already had Lloyd Griffith from Soccer AM, Pete Donaldson from the Football Ramble, Caroline Barker from Sky Sports and Five Live, Toby Tarrant from Radio X, James Sutton from the Anfield Rap, and Adam Wilborn from What Culture on the podcast. And we've got loads more guests lined up for the rest of the season.
Finally, we don't go on forever. Our podcasts are not that long, so you can get all the information you need for your game week without having to spend too much time with us, which, let's face it, is probably for the best.
Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. Please subscribe on your chosen podcast app.